again.
Exactly. You just, you know, do the old technique of just unplug, plug back in. Or blow on it, like we used to do with Nintendo.
And it still works.
And welcome back to What Happened to Us. Nate, Sam, and Hugh. Fun stuff. Nothing to talk about this week, I don't think.
Nothing?
No groundbreaking things happened in the last couple days. It's been pretty mellow, from my understanding of things.
Government raids, bridges falling down.
No. Falling down. They say. There's a big conspiracy going on about that.
Oh no, there's been. I've seen several. I've seen several. The bridge. Was it the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore?
Yes.
Yes, knocked down by a giant cargo ship.
From
Singapore, right?
Exactly.
I've seen everything, and it was like clockwork. People post what it happened. In the middle of the night, Monday into Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. And as soon as it happened, you saw people on Twitter saying, "Oh God, this is gonna draw out the conspiracy theorists who are gonna claim any number of things, that it's fake, that it's a terrorist attack, that it's all number of things," and of course. Those people came through and said all those things.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Alex Jones called it a psyop for it's the World War III has begun.
Oh, yes.
I saw a number of those folks claiming this was a border issue, an immigration issue, because it's a foreign, because it was a foreign based ship.
Yes.
So it must be a Biden border crisis thing, as if
we don't get anything from China.
Every cargo ship in the world is under every ship essentially in the world is under the flag of like five different countries because of taxes and whatnot. So every ship is either like Singapore or a number of Caribbean countries. But yeah, that's how ships work. Ships come from Asia with Asian flags and come here. They don't usually hit bridges.
No.
But yeah, they DEI. That was another one I saw that was very popular. People claiming that it's a diversity thing. That the same thing they're trying to claim with Boeing. That the reason Boeing planes keep falling apart is because diversity hires. Hiring people of color or women. Obviously means the product is less.
Absolutely. Why would we not think otherwise?
It's a worser built product. And of course, diversity hires obviously matter for Asian crews of Asian ships.
Yes.
Like DEI is very much affects their bottom line.
Yeah. Because they didn't hire a white person to be on that boat.
No.
As their diversity hire.
The only one that actually I've seen some folks on the left sort of making is it could be an infrastructure issue, and that we have a number of bridges that are older.
Yeah.
They probably need some retrofitting. Though I did see more than one actually engineer on Twitter like pop on. Like somebody was like, "Guys, I'm a bridge engineer. Please listen to me when I say this would have happened to any bridge in the world if a ship of that size ran into it."
Yes.
You know, yeah, you could make the argument sure that it was an old bridge, but this guy's like the Golden Gate Bridge would have collapsed if a cargo ship of that size ran into it. So he's like, it's not just, you know, it's the boat clearly lost power. You can see it in the video that it clearly lost power and was. And that's another thing is people all of a sudden became experts on shipping.
Oh yeah, that's a nice touch. That's new.
Because they seem to be under the impression that it must have been done on purpose. Because why on earth couldn't the boat turn out of the way? As if they understand how boats work.
Right.
Boats of that size, like you can't. There's no brake. You can't just turn out of a skid.
I mean, what was the boat that got stuck in? That held everything up. Yes.
Yeah. I forget the name of the boat, but we had jokes for ages on that one, even though it fucked up the world economy, but we still thought it was really funny.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't really think about it too much. We're just like, it's stuck. Oh.
Yeah.
Nothing's getting out of there.
You know, I mean, hell, the Titanic, you know how much the Titanic had a lot of time before hitting the iceberg. They just couldn't do anything because that boat that size can't turn that fast.
Did you hear about the guy who's trying to remake the Titanic?
That's
a good use of hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's his money, right? He's not doing. Is it not like a crazy Australian dude or something?
Yes. Yeah. Crazy billionaire.
Yeah. He'll make it work this time.
Also, it's funny when you bring up Boeing because you know you heard about the whistleblower at Boeing, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't quite make it to the second interview.
No. He was. That was weird, huh?
Weird that he went
made
after
suicide halfway through his lawsuit. Yeah.
Not even his lawsuit. He was doing testimony to the lawyers and did the first day, then didn't make it back the second day from self-inflicted quote unquote allegedly gunshot wound. And then the CEO of Boeing has stepped down. Mm-hmm. No reason for that to happen outside of
they're having a rough one over the last how many years. They've had some interesting going back to the Malaysian Air flight that disappeared.
Yes.
And then, yeah, wheels falling off, panels falling off, doors blowing off.
You know.
That one in Miami where the engine was on fire up in the sky.
Oh.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam. We're just talking about how Boeing is, killing people.
We're also talking about bridges falling, boats and whatnot. Yeah. Shit's happening in the world.
I'm driving, so I'm gonna turn my camera off.
That is fine.
Don't hit any bridges, Sam.
I'll try not to. I don't know if you remember this or know this, but I actually don't like driving on bridges, like ever.
I did remember that.
So yeah, every time like we cross over like the Bay Bridge or whatever up north, like I would always just literally just have Josh we swap and he'll just drive.
I don't blame you. That was another thing, Hugh, that when people are trying to make the argument this was some sort of terrorist thing, they couldn't have. It was the luckiest thing in the world that ship hit that bridge at the time it did, when there were only 8 cars on the bridge.
Right.
That's unfortunately 8 people. Two of them survived.
Two survived lived, and I think 6.
They're assuming the other 6 because they found they used sonar and saw the cars at the bottom of the bay.
Right.
So those people probably didn't make it. But like, if it were an act of terrorism, you'd think they'd go for like a
midday kind of rush hour time of day.
But that's still terrifying. I mean, God, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to drive over that bridge as it's collapsing. Thank God there were only 8.
Did we find out what happened to that vessel? Like, why did it end up crashing into it? Like, I don't know if
you could just see from the video that the boat lost power. Like all the lights shut off, and it was And then a lot of smoke was coming from the stack, which boat folks, there have been a lot of self-proclaimed boat experts on Twitter, but there have been some that are actual boat experts saying, it looked like it lost power and was unable to steer.
But couldn't they just anchor it? Like, I don't understand. There's a bridge. Like, anchor the boat.
It's like a train. You can't break in time. It's like there's so much momentum going that it's impossible.
They were saying the weight of it, like even a cruise ship would be easier to stop than that. Those cargo ships are just insane. But it's just terrifying. There was one of the 2 survivors that we know of. I mean, hopefully, knock on wood, maybe there will be more survivors. But one of the 2. Was a construction worker who was working on the bridge when it collapsed. He didn't even get medical attention. They asked him if he wanted to go to the hospital. He's like, nah, I'm good. Dude went in a collapsed bridge. It was like, I'm good. I'm going to walk it off.
Wait, so there's crews working on it at 1 in the morning?
Yeah, some sort of construction of some kind, yeah.
I mean, I wish that we had construction like at 1 in the morning on all the roads and stuff instead of closing it during the day here in LA, you would think.
What fun would that be, Sam? Though, if they did it at convenient times, that would be no fun at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Carmageddons are so much more fun.
I like Carmageddons because nobody drives.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We haven't had one of those in a while, have we?
Carmageddon? No, I mean, I don't think you've had one since I left.
No, they were. Like,
there was one with a bridge. There was like a bridge
on the 405,
the 6th Street Bridge. The 6th Street Bridge was built in added on. So I don't know if they did anything for that. But, I mean, nothing that affected my life because I live in a little bubble on the west side.
Well, they're really I remember that the first time they used – no, was it Carmageddon or was
– Yeah, it was Carmageddon. Carpocalypse.
They used an apocalypse. It was like car – I can't say it. But, yeah, there was an apocalypse pun as well. Carpocalypse. But they do such a good job of scaring the hell out of people, letting them know those are coming, that they usually actually – it works. Like, people stay off the road. Like, it, you know, they terrify people with words like Carmageddon. Mm. And it's, you know, people figure it out and they go a different way.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to happen with the Olympics in 4 years.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. That's that should be interesting. And also the World Cup before that.
That's
interesting. Well, we're only going to get a few games.
No, that's true. It's not Olympic size. You're right. But it's going to be a big thing. It's going to be a really big
thing.
You're right. You're right.
That'll be worth it.
I would love for us to have more games, but, you know, it's not written in the cards.
It wasn't written in the cards. Kroenke was just not willing to bend the knee to FIFA, unlike the Meadowlands. There is a whole thing about that one. That's the hilarious thing. The memes for... The finals being in Jersey. They're like, it's in New York. It's like, no, it's in Jersey.
Just like all the games that are claimed, all the football games that are technically for New York are all in New Jersey, right?
Oh, yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. I don't know if they've ever played it.
They did.
In New York. In New York proper.
Buffalo.
No. I mean, like, I don't think the Jets or the Giants
play in the baseball stadiums. Way back.
Oh, way back when. You're right. Way back when. Yeah.
Yankee Stadium, and I believe the Jets were at Shea.
Ah, that makes sense.
I believe. I'm not a hundred. Don't. But I know they both started there, and then they're like, oh, we'll just move to Giants Stadium when it was built. So.
Gotcha. If I don't know what I was going to say.
No?
Diddy's
Diddy news.
Having a week, isn't he?
Hashtag Diddler.
Diddler. Oh, yeah.
There is.
What are all those charges? I haven't been following. Josh said that because he works at UCLA, he said that there's a lot of helicopters nearby.
Yeah.
And people told him it was Diddy's house, and he's like, that makes sense. He probably lives nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lives in Holmby Hills, so like right by UCLA. We don't know the charges yet because he hasn't been charged with anything. But the
current lawsuit is over SA harassment and grooming is one of the lawsuits. Now there are numerous lawsuits coming his way after Cassie Ventura.
Yeah,
or Ventura.
Just go by Cassie. Yeah, Cassie. The singer Cassie. Yeah, that was his girlfriend of like on and off for about 15 years. She sued him back in the fall.
Right.
Like civil lawsuit accused him of their 15 year relationship of sexual abuse, sexual assault, physical abuse, emotional abuse. She accused him of making her carry his guns around, drugs. She accused him of making her sleep with male prostitutes while he watched, all manner of things. And then there was a couple of anonymous lawsuits against Diddy that basically all said the same thing. And then there was one more recently from a man, Rodney Jones, who was a producer that worked with Diddy, who accused him of doing all those things to him as well, like prostitutes, drugs, guns, a sexual assault, But these were all civil suits. But now it seems the feds got notice, and now they're criminally investigating him
for sexual trafficking.
They're saying that the investigation. Yeah. The investigation evidently is over sex trafficking, sexual assault, solicitation, distributing narcotics, and distributing firearms. So it's basically everything you see in like a RICO case for like the mafia. That's basically what these things are. The sex trafficking evidently comes from the prostitutes thing, like Cassie and Rodney Jones said, where he would make people, like he would hire these prostitutes and make other people sleep with the prostitutes. And evidently he brought these sex workers over state lines, which technically makes it sex trafficking. And actually...
Why did she stay with him for so long? I don't understand that.
Great money, her career. I mean, I'm sure she's a singer. I'm sure there are a number of things. But these rumors about him have gone all the way back. Hell, do you remember back when, I mean, when he was with J-Lo, but remember when they got arrested? When he and J-Lo, I think they got arrested like after the VMAs or something.
Yeah.
Because it was a gun possession. Diddy made J-Lo carry his gun. So this is not like a new thing, but the added twist. So these raids, so he was not under arrest. He's not been charged with anything. They raided his Holmby Hills house and his Miami house, on Star Island. The thing that caught everybody's attention was the raids were done not by the FBI, but by the Department of Homeland Security, which is strange. You know, them and the Customs and Border Patrol. And I guess people think the reason for that is maybe they're actually investigating him for international sex trafficking, because the FBI would only be like state to state. But if it went international, that would be Homeland Security.
So I could ask Ronnie.
You should. You actually should. I don't. Yeah.
Just coming, like, I don't know what's going on over there in California.
There's a video. I don't know if you saw it. He was detained outside Miami. He was not at his house. He was at an airport. He was with his one. He has a couple of private jets, but he was with one of them. He was detained at the Miami Apalaca Executive Airport. And he would, like, I guess, again, he wasn't arrested, but there's footage of like agents stopping his plane and making everybody get out. Some people thought he might be trying to like escape, you know, kind of like what Russell Simmons did, where Russell Simmons just randomly moved to Bali a few years ago and never came back. Which, you know, that's not weird at all. But evidently he wasn't actually like fleeing. He was taking his daughters to spring break. Or at least that's the story.
Yeah, okay.
Like they were going to the Bahamas. He was with his family. Like, so I mean, yeah.
The no extradition Bahamas.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, he should say hi to Armie Hammer.
Exactly.
There is some funny things, like the whole Cat Williams interview from the Shannon Sharp sit down.
Yeah, Club Shay Shay. Yeah.
Club Shay Shay, which is making everyone's like, oh, Cat Williams be crazy because he brought stuff up like this. And it's like, oh.
No. There's several things Cat Williams said in that interview that have come true.
Yeah.
That have been. So it's like, oh, okay.
Allegedly, probably, we have to say.
No, allegedly. Allegedly.
These are no charges, but, you know.
Not yet. There was somebody charged on. See, this is another reason that it was kind of weird that he was taking a family trip to the Bahamas with his twin daughters for their spring break. Is that one of his associates on the plane was arrested?
Oh, the drug deal, correct?
Yeah, but not for the sexual sex trafficking and all these other things that Diddy's being investigated for. Yeah, he was arrested for drug possession, and evidently this guy. I don't know if you've seen this guy. He's a 25-year-old. I mean, he looks like a kid. He's 25 years old. His name's Brendan Paul. He actually used to be a basketball player at Syracuse.
Yep.
And he just looks like the scrawniest, skinniest white dude. Like, he does not look like somebody who would be Diddy's drugs and gun guy. Evidently, this guy was named in the Rodney Jones lawsuit from a few months ago that this guy, this 25-year-old guy, is Diddy's drugs guy. Like, when Diddy needs drugs and guns, he goes to this guy, which is just hysterical when you see a photo of this dude. But yeah, he was arrested on the plane yesterday or 2 days ago because he had cocaine and weed edibles on him. And those are both.
Did he look like DJ Squalls or whatever that guy's name was?
He does.
Kind of.
Oh my God. Yes, Sam. Yeah, I mean, not exactly, but that's what I was going for. When the
a little
least
bit more
likely,
meat on the bones, I would say.
Not quite DJ Squalls skinny, but that's the exact look. So like, okay, you see that person, okay, you're like, that is not somebody I expected to be Diddy's gun guy for sure.
But that's good though. I mean, that's being inconspicuous, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's true. He'd be the last person you'd expect. If I saw Diddy and his crew getting unloaded off that plane and this guy came out, my first guess would not be the gun guy at all. But he was arrested. But again, totally unrelated to what the Homeland Security seems to be investigating Diddy for. Though, this does seem like the kind of thing that Diddy might really be concerned about, because if this guy's getting like drug charges, he could turn on Diddy real fast.
Oh, he'll flip.
He could flip. Yeah,
he will.
But then at the Holmby Hills home, Sam, like where Josh saw the helicopters, Diddy's two other his older two sons were at the house, Justin and King, and they were not arrested, but there's footage of them being handcuffed outside because, you know, while the raid was happening, they were being detained outside, but they were handcuffed. I've not heard as much about King, but Justin has been named in lawsuits in the past, like having to do with the sex trafficking and sexual assault. Like evidently Justin was, he was in charge for the parties that Diddy used to throw. The son Justin was in charge of recruiting the prostitutes and recruiting underage girls to go to the parties. So Justin might actually be in a lot of trouble. I don't know about the other son.
I don't understand how, like, after Weinstein and everything that's happened with Epstein and everything, how they're just still just like blatantly just doing shit still. I don't get it.
They don't care. They don't think they get caught. I mean, hell, look at our former president.
They have civil lawsuits, right? You were saying.
Yeah,
they're civil lawsuits, but those can disappear.
Those like, can be paid the, off.
In fact, the Cassie one did. She was the first 30. To file back in the fall, and it was settled. So it was settled absurdly quickly, like to the point.
Well, yeah, because he has money.
Yeah, but like people are like, "Ooh, he settled that real fast. She probably was telling the truth."
Of course, she was.
Yeah. So of course I Sam for us hits a little close to home. Do you remember when Justin Combs, the one who that I was just referring to, when he was a UCLA football player?
Yeah.
That whole thing where Diddy went and tried to fight the coach. I can't remember which coach it was at that point. It wasn't
Chip.
Was pre Brian. Yeah, that was pre what's his name? Kelly.
The former Detroit Lions and 49ers coach maybe.
I can't remember.
Not Mariucci. Was it Mariucci?
That's the first name that popped into my head. I don't think so.
I'm sure it was whoever our coach was before Chip Kelly. I can't remember which one it was.
Neuheisel, Dory. What's that guy's name? Tall, skinny black guy, baldish, very good looking. Carl Durrell?
I don't know. I can't remember who exactly.
I'm just pulling names out of my fucking head.
Yeah, no. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, like Diddy threatened that coach because Justin wasn't getting playing time.
Jim Mora?
No, it might have been Chip. You know what? And now that I think about it, I don't think it was Chip. I don't think it was the head coach. I think he was threatening like one of the position coaches. So it wasn't – I don't remember who the head coach was, but it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's I'm trying to think. Yeah, so Diddy's having a rough week.
Oh.
Diddy has several planes. So the one that he was on that got stopped in Miami, that was one of his G5s. Diddy has another G5 that's his more famous one. It's an all black G5 it's named Love Air.
Oh,
like
God.
It's his personal plane. It is currently sitting in the Caribbean. Very strangely, like it's in Antigua.
Yeah.
And its flight plan over the last several days was curious. On Sunday alone, because, you know, you can track flights, private planes. It's much to Taylor Swift's chagrin. It's not
Elon
at all
Musk
illegal.
As well.
It's totally legal to do that. Somebody, for whatever reason, was tracking Diddy's plane. And on Sunday, it over the course of a few hours, this plane that Diddy was not on flew from Sacramento to Palm Springs to Van Nuys, then to Antigua in the Caribbean. And Diddy was not on it, but people are like, why is this plane flying all over the place? And why is it in the Caribbean right now? So maybe that's where Diddy was headed. I don't know.
That was the rumor.
So currently one of his planes is just sitting there. It's an interesting story. I guess we'll learn more. But this, you know, this seems to be the end of the road for him.
It just seems all tired. I'm sorry. Like, how long is he going to, like, I mean, is it a control thing or what? Like, I just don't understand, like, why people do the things that they do. And I guess that there's, like, this whole, like, God complex, like, they're not going to get caught or whatever. But, like, the stuff that he's being accused of, just based on what you guys are telling me, it's like, how long are you going to enjoy that, dude? Like, you're what? You're in your 50s? 60s? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how old he is. I don't know.
He's 9 years older than me. So he's 54.
I just don't understand it. Maybe it's just because he's getting away with shit and he, like, likes it. He likes that lifestyle. But, like, you know, you have all these kids and you have all these people in your life and they're all fake and they're all on your payroll. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand that, but maybe that's just me because I'm a normal human being. But the fact that, you know, you're doing all this stuff blatantly in front of other people and other people probably in the hip hop industry know about it. Like, you know, I just don't get it.
It seems like these story, like when these lawsuits started hitting him a few years ago, or last year, the general consensus was, oh yeah, we're not surprised by that. Like people that were in that world that knew him, like, oh yeah, he's been doing this for ages.
Like people from New York are like, oh, that's not surprising. I was talking with S about it. Yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I was like, how does that make sense? And it's like, I guess if you're around like certain areas, it makes sense.
Hell, the Epstein stuff, people knew about Epstein forever. Just know everybody was like, yeah, it's going on. What are you going to do?
Well, no, the Epstein stuff, he'd been charged, like, and it was, you know, the judge gave leniency on him, like, initially. So.
Oh, yeah, that.
Down in Florida. So.
Or Weinstein. I mean, hell, people knew about Weinstein forever. But it wasn't, you know, it didn't hit, shit didn't hit the fan.
This is the thing about, Weinstein, I always say this, I'm like, I knew that he was a jerk and creep and everything, but I just didn't, like, I just thought that it was consensual. That's all, you know? Like, we all knew he cheated on his wife. We all knew that he's a scumbag. But, like, there's a difference between, like, getting consent and not getting consent. And that's when you're just like, okay, like, that's messed up.
Yeah, there was a lot of – and, I mean, over the years you heard so many stories. And it's still very, very inappropriate, like the whole casting couch, you know, situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, so with Weinstein, all the stories were always that, yes, he was sleeping with all these, like, young starlets. But what people seemed to think was that the starlets were doing it consensually so they could get ahead in Hollywood. Which, if you look at it that way, it means
around for forever, you know.
It's extremely inappropriate, you know, by way of like power dynamics. But you're right, that's not illegal. Like if the person's consenting, that's not illegal. Like I remember all kinds of stories over the years, like where he, like it girls, that, you know, they would call them the it girls that would be sleeping with Weinstein to get their careers ahead. You know, so but then we found out later he was sexually assaulting a number of these women as well.
Yeah, and it's like they'd wear his wife's designer dresses to impress him at the Oscars and stuff. Like stuff like that happens all the time. But am I saying that's a good thing? No, but the consent part is what really bothers me, obviously, because you know, you would think that people would just be, I don't know, decent human beings about it. Although, I mean, I guess Diddy did sing a song about being a bad boy for life. I guess he's dying by that song.
Sure is. All I can ever think about is the when Chappelle, when he was doing his Making the Band skits on Chappelle's show where he played Diddy.
Yeah.
And he would make them do ridiculous.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Chappelle needs to do a show again. I'm sorry.
I honestly, nowadays, I'm terrified of what Chappelle's show was.
Well, yes. But at least he had, like, you know, people at Comedy Central kind of, you know, regulating that. But most of the stuff that they let him get away with was great. Like,
they let him get away with a lot. A lot that I do not think, I'm quite certain he could not do anymore.
Yeah. But his Netflix, I haven't watched his Netflix specials and stuff, but like he'll just like go on random tangents and that's kind of the, you know, the thing that you can't really like filter or like, you know, as an agent or as a network exec or whatever, you can't, like once they say it out loud, they say it out loud, you know?
I haven't watched any of his more recent specials just because he's, you know, he could have let the whole, when he started making the trans jokes, like when people called him out being like, hey, you know what, maybe you should back off of this, it's really not funny and you're being mean, and if he had just backed off, he'd been in and just moved on to other things, cool. But now he's entrenched and he's digging more into it. It's he doesn't like being told what not to do, so now all his comedy is based on like the trans stuff and other stuff, and now I have no interest in watching him anymore.
His
old specials were incredible. Like I love those, Killing Him Softly, I think was one of it. Like his old stuff was great and the show was great, but I just haven't liked anything more recently.
Yeah, it's too bad. That's all. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. So Hugh, you were watching that Quiet on Set.
I did watch the Quiet on Set over the weekend, and my God, it's a theme today of just what the F is wrong with the Hollywood industry, and no one should be shocked or surprised by any of it.
No,
Quiet on Set is essentially dealing with Dan Schneider, the creator of many shows like Zoe 101,
The Amanda Show, all that, The Amanda Show, Kenan and Kel, iCarly, which is where Ariana Grande got her start, all those Nickelodeon shows,
And so there was a couple scenarios of young boys and girls being subjugated to threats of a nature that is unpleasant to most, if not all, mm-hmm. of us. And it was just like, you know, this comes in hand with the whole situation with the Boy Meets World podcast.
Yeah.
Where, who are the two men on that one?
Ryder Strong and Will Friedle.
Who had written letters for the accused, who was guilty of sexual assault and other things, defending him. And that's the episode that happened back in February, because they knew that this documentary was coming out, and they now are backtracking on saying they were misinformed by the person that he this was Drake Bell is the name. He came out and said this had happened to him when he was about 15 years old.
There's the Dan Schneider is the producer creator of all those shows. And Dan Snyder's been accused of terrible things.
Just
over
being
the
a horrible,
years.
Horrible boss.
Just a horrible boss. The inappropriateness. It's actually been very well known over the years how inappropriate he was with the teens on his shows. But he's never actually outwardly been accused of assault. Dan Snyder.
No. Yeah. No. That was about him being a bad boss.
He was accused of just inappropriate behavior, like
to the female writers and things like that.
He treated the cast badly. It was all his was emotional abuse.
Exactly.
This physical abuse. This is a different person. This is
there were two people that were
The one with Drake Bell is his name's Brian Peck.
Right.
He was a dialogue coach that was hired for a lot of these Nickelodeon shows, and he was the one who evidently was sexually assaulting these kids. The only one that's a name on record is the Drake Bell, right?
Yes, like correct.
There have been other accusations. Drake Bell's the one who came. Well, Brian Peck.
He went to court. Drake Bell went to court to face it. And then he was like, you know, James Marsden defended Peck.
Yeah.
And there are other names with the biggest names are the ones that were given. That you would know just off the top of your head. Other people within the industry were also supporting Peck. He worked with Leonardo DiCaprio on Alan Thicke was one of those ones.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Yeah. So we should say Brian Peck did go to prison.
Yes.
Not for long though. This is back in the early 2000s after he was accused of all this sexual assault. And he was a dialogue coach on these sets. He pled no contest to performing lewd acts with a 14 or 15 year old.
Yes.
And pled no contest to oral copulation with a minor under 16. Now we've come to know that that was Drake Bell, among if not other people, but that specifically was Drake Bell. He only went to prison for 16 months, got out, and then was immediately hired by Disney.
Yeah.
Like he was doing this on these Nickelodeon sets, went to prison for 16 months for child sexual abuse. Then as soon as he got out, he was hired to work on The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody for Disney.
Yep.
Isn't
he on supposed to be on some sort of like child
registered sex offender?
I don't understand that.
He is. So I don't know.
He can't be that good of a fucking dialogue coach. You can find other people that doesn't have a criminal record. You know, every time I fill that out when I have a job application, I'm just like, thank goodness I don't have a felony. You know what I mean? It just, you have to fill out so many more forms even.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Sam, the letters of support that he was talking about. So that was during the trial to he was getting letters of support from other people in Hollywood, basically his character references, saying, you know, hey, we don't believe that this guy could do this. He was such a good guy to us. Yeah.
This is the thing. Of course he's great to you guys, but he could also be awful to two or three people. That's still not cool.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't understand the character witness part where you're willing to stick your neck out for somebody. They're great to you, sure, but they could be assholes to other people. Like, I don't get that at all.
And
Ashton Kutcher thing, like,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely and it's like you said, Ryder Strong and Will Friedle, because evidently he worked on Boy Meets World.
A couple episodes of Boy Meets World,
They wrote letters at the time, and they've come out and backtrack now, saying that they did not know what was going on. So they
of course terrible. They didn't, because they weren't in the age range that he was hunting after. Yeah. They were all too old.
Sorry, James. Like you said, James Marsden was a different one, only because James Marsden knew this Brian Peck when James Marsden was a young actor. He actually credits Brian Peck with helping him get his career started, and James Marsden lived with him when James Marsden was a young man. So that's, you kind of wonder what might have happened there. But he wrote a letter, like you said, Alan Thicke and I'm drawing a blank with the mother's name, Joanna, the mother from Growing Pains. It was Joanna something.
Kearns.
Kearns, that's right. She and Alan Thicke both wrote letters because this Brian Peck worked on Growing Pains, like you said, and that Leonardo DiCaprio started on Growing Pains.
But if you look at just like the basic like things that people that are predators on kids, they go after the ones that are vulnerable. James Marsden might not have been vulnerable. He was probably like, oh, this guy's going to become really famous. Like, I'm not going to do anything with this guy.
Maybe. No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, it's.
Like that was part of the documentary was the manager was Drake's father for the longest time. And he was protective, and he was weary of Peck the whole time. Like, this is a part of the show. Spoiler, sorry, my apologies. But then eventually there was the move to get him fired as his manager, and that happened, and then there was the whole break off. And then Drake's career, they got the show, because he was also on All That, I believe. Yeah, or the Amanda Show. Drake, he was on the Amanda Show.
Yeah, Drake and Josh was a spinoff of the Amanda Show. Because Josh Peck, unrelated, different Peck. Drake Bell and Josh Peck had their show, and they both came from Amanda Show.
And there was a lot of drama, from my understanding, between Drake and Peck, Josh Peck. I have to refer the kid, the co-star of the show, because Drake got married or something, wasn't invited.
So people were confused, like, why. Josh Peck, who's still acting, by the way. Drake Bell's career kind of tapered off, like, post Nickelodeon. Clearly, he had just unspeakable things happen to him. But Josh Peck has gone on to pretty good success. He's been in a lot of things. He's still in a lot of things.
Yes.
And people were like, he had a huge falling out with Drake Bell years and years ago. Like, they just grew apart after they did. You know, everybody assumed because they did a show called Drake and Josh. Or Josh and Drake, mm-hmm. I always get the two reversed, that they must be like really good friends, but they really weren't. And they sort of drifted apart. And and they said, I guess one of the breaking points in the relationship was that that Josh got married several years ago and did not invite Drake. And it became a big public falling out, even though Josh said afterwards the reason he didn't invite Drake Bell to his wedding is because they're just not close anymore. Like, just because they grew up together doesn't mean they're close.
Right.
But people were wondering, like, why didn't Josh Peck have anything to say? Like, he was not part of this special, this docuseries. He did not even release any statements of any kind up until it. And he basically said after the fact, he's like, I honestly did not know that was happening. He's like, I'm not lying. I did not know that was happening to Drake Bell, even though I was working on a show with him. So, Sam, like you said, absolutely. This guy was clearly focusing on only certain minors, like, because he wasn't going after everybody. Amanda Bynes, same thing. Amanda Bynes, with all the horrible things that have happened to her over the years, like, because of her child stardom. She said that she had no idea about this Brian Peck, even though he was working, like he was a dialogue coach on her show. And that's why Amanda Bynes did not take part in this docuseries either. She said, I don't have any experiences because that didn't happen to me. So clearly everybody, you know, everybody's got a different story. Damn. But Amanda Bynes has spoken out about Dan Schneider for years about how shitty a boss he was. But again, not really accusations of sexual assault. It was just abuse, overall abuse. And Dan Schneider was actually fired from Nickelodeon back in the, like he was fired and then left and then Nickelodeon brought him back.
Because he was successful. Like he was their golden boy. Like,
yeah, he was their golden boy. He was their, I'm trying to think of another, like their, I mean, like Chuck Lorre. Like Chuck Lorre is the CBS. That was Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon. You know, just having show after hit after hit after hit. But Dan Schneider, the reason he was able to keep his job for so long, despite all these rumors about how horribly he was treating people, was because his best friend is Brian Robbins, who at the time was the president of Nickelodeon, and now Brian Robbins is the president of Paramount.
Yes.
He's worked his way up. So if you have somebody like that in your corner, you're never getting fired. If your best friend is the president of the network, you have to do something truly horrific to get fired.
Well, it wasn't a huge jump. I mean, Nickelodeon's part of Viacom, which was absorbed and renamed Paramount. So, I mean, did much.
He worked his way up though. I mean, Brian.
I agree. It's just like it's just natural that he just, you know, people like him just keep getting promoted. That's all.
Yeah, he was also Brian Robbins started as an actor. He and Dan Schneider were actors together. They were on Head of the Class way back in the day.
I believe Dan wrote or created Head of the Class as well.
Did he create it?
I believe so. There was something about that in the documentary where he was like, he wrote the pilot or something like that for Head of the Class.
Oh, maybe. That's possible. I always remember them both. Like whenever I'd see their names later on as producers, as execs, TV execs, I always remember the two of them from that show because they played best friends on the show. And then Dan Schneider was also an actor in other movies. Like, you know, I thought he was in Better Off Dead, one of my favorite movies, and it's hard to watch him in it now. But he was funny in it too.
Yeah.
And Brian Robbins got out of acting, but before he became a TV exec, he was a director. He directed Varsity Blues. You know, all time great banger of a movie, Varsity Blues. So I cannot bring myself to watch The Quiet on Set, but I know enough about it, like just reading about it, that evidently there. Did you watch all four?
I did watch all four episodes. Yes.
They've already greenlit a fifth episode because of the reaction to the show. So they're actually now making a fifth episode that Drake Bell's going to do more for.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Since they're doing this fifth episode, maybe they can get Amanda Bynes or Josh Peck or some of the other actors to take part. All the actors that are claiming they didn't know anything about it, maybe they will take part in it now.
Hmm.
The thing with the Boy Meets World that's interesting is that, yeah, like you said, Ryder Strong and Will Friedle wrote these letters back in the day and now say they regret it. But the one of the other actresses on the show, not Topanga, but her name's Maitland Ward. She played I can't think of the character's name. She was when they were in Boy Meets World when they were in college.
Right.
She was the redhead that lived with
the
them
adult
in college.
Performer now.
She's an adult performer in real life now. Yeah. Right. Her name's Maitland Ward. I cannot for life. She was the one who lived with Matthew Lawrence and Will Friedle on the show when they were in college.
Correct.
She has said now she said, oh, I always knew something was creepy with that dude. She's like, I would never have written a letter of support. She's like, I was on that set and that dude was creepy as hell. So there are some people who sort of were always knew.
Yeah. Cause she's a girl. The boys don't understand. Guys don't get that feeling ever. Like, When you're a guy on set, you don't get weird vibes from another dude, really. Like, when you're a girl, yeah, you're always, like, looking out for shit. Mm. So I'm sure there's a couple of girls that are just like, yeah, I'm going to stay away from that guy. Or, like, he kind of gives me weird vibes. You know, nothing major. You're not going to assume that he's a child sex predator. But if he gives you weird vibes, you're just going to stay away from him. That's all. You know,
exactly.
That's what girls do. Guys don't get it. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how else to explain it.
Do either of you ever listen to the Boy Meets World podcast?
No.
I think it's called Pod Meets World.
Pod Meets World. Yeah.
Is it Pod Meets World? I don't, even though I like all three of them. Like, you know, it's Ryder Strong, Will Friedle, and Topanga. You know, they all do it together. Yeah. And it's interesting to hear the stories that they tell, because I love that show. Like, Sam, are you a Boy Meets World fan? I can't remember.
Yeah, I liked it, but it wasn't, like, my favorite.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my – I mean, it, I think
– we didn't have many options back in those days. No, it was kind of like, oh, this is your weekend. You're going to watch this show because that's all that's on TV.
I liked Mr. Feeny. I'm one of those people.
Feeny was good.
Feeny.
And I like their dad for some reason. Whoever the actor is, their dad.
Oh, I can't think.
Didn't
I don't
he pass
know
away recently? No.
Who?
No.
I don't think so. He's pretty young.
No, Hugh, because he's still with us. So let's steer the conversation away from that. But yes, Mr. Feeny, knock on wood, everything. He is still with us.
William Russ was his name.
The father?
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear them talk on Pod Meets World because evidently, why am I drawing a blank? The main character,
Ben Savage.
Ben Savage. I couldn't think of his name. Ben Savage. Corey, or AKA Ben Savage. From what they without them actually outwardly saying it, evidently Ben Savage is just a total piece of shit.
Really, you couldn't pick it up from the times you've met him.
Fair. But the fact that on this pod, you know, the Pod Meets World is a, you know, it's essentially, it started as a Boy Meets World rewatch podcast, you know, where they were doing episode by episode. Now it's turned into a bit more where they have other child stars on. So now it's more of a podcast about child stars.
Right.
So over the course of as long as this podcast has been going, they brought everybody back. Like everybody was ever on Boy Meets World, like a character. They've has come on the podcast and they've talked about their, you know, swap stories about when they were on the show, and they all seem to love each other. But the one person they've never brought on is Ben Savage. And cause evidently they all hate Ben Savage. Like everybody hates Ben Savage. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, there was another actress who was on the show. I again, don't remember her name. She played Ryder Strong's girlfriend in the college years.
Trina McGee.
Okay, yeah, she's a woman of color.
Yes.
She was on the show, and she came out and talked about how horribly she was treated on set on that show, and specifically said that, like, she was dealt with a ton of racism from a particular cast member, and she didn't say who the cast member was, but she said all the cast members it wasn't, and she basically named everybody but Ben Savage. And like all the other people that do this podcast, they don't even acknowledge Ben Savage. They don't talk about him. They talk about everybody else that's ever been on the show, but they don't talk about him. So evidently he's a terrible person.
Didn't he run for Congress? Didn't Andrea send out like a thingy in our group text about him running for Congress?
Yeah.
He was running for Schiff's seat.
Yeah,
did he win? I mean, obviously he didn't.
I don't think it's. Well, he did two things. He ran when I was still there. He ran for school board of West Hollywood school board, and he lost.
Right.
But now he's running for actual Congress, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't imagine he's polling very well. It's weird. Like, you know, all this stuff has also come out about Fred Savage over the years. You know, the way he abuses people on set.
That's not going well for Fred. Not just emotional, but other things.
Yeah, no, yeah, he was kind of I always hate using Me Too as a verb when you say somebody got Me Too'd, but he fell into that. Like
canceled. Just say canceled.
Canceled. Yeah, okay, but does anybody ever get canceled for
not
real?
Not particularly. No, but.
But okay, but you remember Fred Savage got embroiled in that, but it was never. But at the time, it was never accusations of sexual assault. It was always it was always emotional abuse. Like Fred Savage would just treat cast members and crew members like absolute shit. And I remember at the time being like, "Oh, that's a bummer to hear. I love Fred Savage. You know, growing up, how could the kid from Wonder Years and the kid from Princess Bride be a monster?" But now you hear about both of them, and you're like, oh, okay, the Savages are just shitty people. The whole family's just shitty.
Well, you give them a little bit of power and a little bit of money, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, yeah. So, Yeah, so I mean, Hugh, would you say, it was quiet on set. I mean,
it was a good documentary. I'm not going to lie.
Was it well made?
It was well done. It was very well done. It was, they got a lot of perspectives on the writer, the female writers from the initial All That and the Amanda Bynes show, I believe it was All That. Whatever the first show was.
It was All That.
And, you know, how Schneider was to them, you know. And just kind of like that perspective, it was a short bit. And then it was, it came, like, when it came to Schneider, it was just how he, once again, nothing about him, but it's like how he was as a boss. It was like a lot of those things and like favoritism and things like that. And other cast members who all have relatable stories within that. And just being like, oh, you know, how it all went wrong. And the childhood promises. It was just the way... the trauma that these children suffer via this job, like acting, and not shocking. And you look at the people like the Coreys and the stories that go along with them. And Feldman's still with us, right? And Haynes, the one who's passed on.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I will always get them kind of mixed. It's just how it has been.
Well, the Coreys, they're one and the same.
Yeah. So, and you hear the stories from all of that, and you're just like, that it's nuts. It, you know,
what's always alarming is that, you know, we always talk about it's such a cliche that child stars go through such horrible trauma and go through like drug issues and arrests, early deaths, all these things. And we act like that's the norm for child stars. Like, oh yeah, of course that's a child star. But then we like when we hear stories about an actor who made it through just fine. I don't want to say just fine. I can't speak for them. But you have like all the other child actors that seem to be well adjusted and have made it through. And somehow we're surprised by those. We're like, ah, good for them. They made it through. It should be normal. Making it through well should be the norm, not the bad stuff. But we don't treat it that way.
This is why I won't let Kira do any acting on screen.
That's very smart.
She could do community theater as long as she wants.
So, there you go. To let you know, Ben Savage did run for the 30th District of California. He was able to collect 4% of the votes in this year's primaries. So did not make it past that.
I hope he spent a lot of money on that.
Me too. I don't know. He spent some money, or, you know, he got 6,000 votes. So, a little over. So.
He finished in seventh.
He finished in seventh place.
Okay.
Top two going for the election.
Hey, you know what? Top 10. There you go. Top 10, right?
Sure. We'll go with top 10. Well, there were more than. There were plenty. There were a lot of running for this seat. It hadn't been open.
Do they only do the top two for the the actual ballot?
Yes. Okay. It's like
that is Adam Schiff's seat. You said
that is Adam Schiff's seat because Adam Schiff won the Senate seat, but he also finished in the top two for the Senate. He also pushed Katie Porter out by kind of running a campaign where he's like running against Garvey, and Garvey was able to get free advertisement from Schiff and got enough votes. So Katie Porter like gave up her seat in, you know, and territory where it'll probably end up being Republican going forward. And the people are very upset with her in that district. So, I love Katie Porter. I thought she was great. I thought, you know, it was her opportunity to take the Senate seat. You know, if more people knew about her or actually paid attention, maybe she would have a shot, but alas.
Yeah, I feel like she's not
she's the whiteboard lady.
Yeah, whiteboard lady. Yeah. She's very good. Yes. Like when she does those takedowns with her whiteboards during hearings.
Fantastic.
She's incredible. But Schiff's good at that too.
He's not nearly as good. And he's in the pocket of
he just has a higher profile too because of the impeachment hearings and things. Like I always knew him just because he was in West Hollywood. He was my congressman.
No, he was a representative. He was fine. I was a bigger fan of Porter because she doesn't take corporate money. So, and he does. He
has no problem with that. Look where that gets you. Where does that get you in life, not taking corporate money?
No,
out of a job. It gets you out of a job.
Takes you nowhere. And I'm like, the more and more I sit here and wonder why we're still in America, and like just being like, let's just move to Spain. Let's go to Bali. Let's go somewhere where it's like you can afford to live properly.
Can we afford to live in Bali?
Yes, we could. Yes, very much so. Very much. Very, very much so.
Maybe Russell Simmons has a room, an extra room or something.
Maybe he does. Then again, stuck in California for another 10 years. So, yay.
Not that yeah, I'm but leaving. you're gonna secede long before that.
I don't think this country can.
Probably not.
No, I don't think the country will let that happen. The economy's too big here for that to be the case. So, true. You know, we're kind of where we're at with that. And
when does that civil? I mean, it just made me think of it. That's the Civil War movie. When does that come out?
Soon. I mean, the trailers are coming out.
I mean, they've been ramping up like ads for it. And things.
Please don't. I think it gives too. It is just.
Well, I mean, Kirsten Dunst has like PTSD from making it.
Yeah, April 12th is when it's coming out.
After you made me.
No, I told you not to watch that trailer. To be honest,
yeah, and actually, I did the opposite of what you said. You told me not to watch the trailer. I watched the trailer, and now I'm traumatized. I do not.
Wait, what Civil War movie? Sorry,
it's called Civil War.
It's the new. It's the new like A24 movie that
it's Kirsten, called Civil War.
Yeah,
it's called Civil War. It's very blunt. It's she and Jesse Plemons and who I can't.
They get to work together. That's cute.
I can't think of who else.
Nick Offerman. Yeah, it's.
Nick Offerman, and it's basically, Sam, if you watch the trailer, it's depressing because it's like, oh, this could totally happen.
This is what happens when the U.S. goes into a civil war kind of thing, and they're reporters trying to break news on everything that's going on during it. So there's two states, is California and Texas against the...
Yeah, they make it seem like California and Texas are together against the U.S. government, but they don't make it sound like which side's, like, you know, the good guys.
But there's some lines of what kind of American are you?
Yeah. But they do make it seem like the government in the movie, the American government, is shady because Nick Offerman plays the president, and he seems awfully shady in the trailer. So Nick Offerman does not seem like a good guy. He's not a Bill Pullman president. He's a shady president. So, yeah. But I have no interest in seeing that because it looks depressing as hell, and looks like something that could very much happen soon.
That's the scary thing. And on that fine note, folks, we're gonna get going. Always ending it on the high note with that Civil War reference, Nate.
Well, we started with bridges falling. So true. We didn't really find any happy middle ground there. We had DHS raids. We had.
Did we have happy news? Quite on
no,
set.
There's no happy news because there is none.
There's none. Not this week. Yeah, sorry, folks.
I mean, I'm sure there's some that have happened. You know.
Whales lost in PKs. I don't know. All my world is crushed at the present time. So.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Olympic trials, guys. This is my world.
When is that?
Is it the winters or?
I mean.
No, summer.
Did you say winter? Summer. No, it's summer. So the trials are right before the qualifying matches. The Olympics.
But when does that? That starts soon though, right? Because the Olympics are in August.
They're in July. They're always in mid-July.
Okay.